March 9th, 2026. Contempt for our Republic. In 1947, as the world recovered from the devastation of World War II, Winston Churchill stated in the House of Commons, quote, "Democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others that have been tried," end quote. Churchill was a monarchist and an imperialist at heart, but recognized that democracy, even with its flaws, was the only way forward. We are now being reminded of that again because we have gone to war like a monarchy, not a democracy. What was so revolutionary? Americans declared that we are citizens, not subjects. No one had ever claimed that before. One of the factors that drove us to this idea was the rejection of how monarchy operated, especially in wartime. We were to be given the freedom to avoid the devastating religious wars of the 17th century and the arbitrary wars for marriage, monarchical succession, commercial interest, ego, that sacrifice subjects to the whim of a monarch. The people doing the fighting and dying would have a say. And yet, here we are with an arbitrary war of our leaders' choosing. Iran. A very brief history for context. Iran went from being a constitutional monarchy and rescuer nation of Jews during the Holocaust to a terror regime of extremists with the 1979 Islamist Revolution, sometimes informed by Nazi ideology. In between, Iran, due to its proximity to the USSR, the Soviet Union, and because of its oil, was treated as a piece in a geopolitical puzzle, in either the British or Russian sphere of influence. After World War II, Iran expanded its democracy but remained under the control of British oil companies. At the same time, in the 1950s, the United States negotiated with the Saudis to conclude a 50-50 profit sharing of their oil revenues. When the Iranians asked the British for a similar deal, the British, still reeling from World War II, said no. The Iranians nationalized their oil industry. The British worked with the CIA to then overthrow Iran's democratic leader in Operation Ajax. They succeeded and elevated the Shah to full authority. Iran became one of the largest buyers of U.S. military hardware, rapidly modernized, and began to repress their people with secret police while oil revenues went to the few as the wealth gap expanded rapidly. This eventually led to the 1979 revolution that has wreaked so much disaster, twisting of Islam, terror, and horror. It created an existential threat to the democratic state of Israel and the world at large. The Iranian government had contempt for liberal democracy. Americans go to war. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11 of the U.S. Constitution grants Congress the exclusive power to declare war and grant letters of marque and reprisal. It is in the first article because the American Revolution believed that sovereignty, the authority to run a state, rested with the people. The people whose taxes would be used and who would have to sacrifice themselves had to consent. The king was no longer the sovereign authority, and specifically could not unilaterally involve the nation in conflict. Since World War II, each president has, to various degrees, ignored this. This is the first time that a president and his political party simply didn't care. Callous disregard for Americans. I would argue that we are witnessing an attempt to wrestle sovereignty away from the people and reinstall it in the hands of oligarchs and kleptocrats. We see this when Supreme Court justices like Justice Neil Gorsuch cite precedents that preceded the American Revolution and argue in favor of corporate power over individual rights, the right to discriminate, and loosens protections against sexual harassment. It is as if we, too, have sudden contempt for our democracy. And now, Secretary of Defense, not war, Hegseth, dismisses conventional rules of engagement as, his words, stupid and maybe even quaint. But restraining military action, protecting civilian life, and honoring international law is what distinguishes us from Iran and Russia. It is also practical. These conventions have kept us safe and have protected our own service members and citizens who are in harm's way. Law matters. On March 4th, Hegseth attacked the media, who dared to ask why he did not recognize the deaths of 6 service members. Hegseth was annoyed that covering troop deaths would be some sort of distraction, a PR problem. A distraction? He referred to reports of the deaths as fake news, stating, quote, "When a few drones get through or tragic things happen, it's front page news. I get it. The press only wants to make the president look bad, but try for once to report the reality," end quote. Mr. Hegseth, service members did not sacrifice their lives to make the president look bad. The president represents us, not just himself. There is contempt for the very people you are asking to sacrifice so much. Leaders know the gravity of ordering people into battle. But Hegseth and others in this administration dismiss the sacrifices of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and airwomen, while seemingly enjoying waging war. It all appears to be like a game to them, with blustering tough guy language, reinforced by the White House posting a video, and now numerous videos, that combine Call of Duty gaming graphics, hip-hop music, with real war footage. I was eerily, disturbingly reminded of Hamas or ISIS recruitment videos, killing taking precedence over democracy and checks and balances. Who would think this is fun, or a moment to posture or look tough while reveling and killing? This is serious, and their decisions and attitudes are insulting and disgusting. Real lives are at risk here. We and they deserve much more. War of whose choice? We are spending billions and killing many in a war the American people have yet to authorize, let alone understand. War should be the last recourse, not the first reflex. This blog will not assess the decision-making other than to point out that we are at war because the president just decided it was a good idea. That is not how Americans go to war. It is how gangsters go to war. The administration's anger and annoyance at the media and the public for asking why reveals their contempt for their sovereign people. Their children are not in the service. Indeed, military service is insulted as something suckers do. Their kids are safe and prospering, and it appears they have little concern for other people's children. In 1964, President Eisenhower visited the graves of those he had ordered into battle at Normandy. He knew what war meant. Had the invasion failed, he would have resigned and taken responsibility. Quote, "If any blame or fault attaches to the attempt, it is mine alone," end quote. Feeling the gravity of responsibility to those who had sent in, the Supreme Commander broke into tears in 1952. They, those young men, quote, "never knew the fear that gripped your insides." But then he corrected himself. "They knew it, but they went ahead anyway," end quote. War is no game. Responsible leaders know this, and they know the gravitas of their decisions. Trump did passingly acknowledge the casualties, abstract rhetoric, but quickly moved on to tell us that deaths are likely and that we will just have to accept more. He then used the Medal of Honor event to talk about draperies and his ballroom for the wealthy. Guns or butter. In 1953, Eisenhower warned, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and are not clothed." We must defend ourselves with the Department of Defense and an effective Homeland Security and find a balance. And yet the intelligence services have been purged. FBI Director Patel fired the counterterrorism experts focused on Iran and the CI-12 squad in an attempt to demonstrate his loyalty to the president. Homeland Security Nome, now former Security Nome, was exposed as corrupt and incompetent. She also directed ICE away from their charge to protect the borders and to attack U.S. cities instead. Thomas Fugate, a 23-year-old, is in charge of combating violent extremism, likely the very threat of Iranian terrorism. His qualifications? Oh, he was a Trump campaign worker who interned at the Heritage Foundation. My turn. We are witnessing the gutting of and purging of our security and government officials because they are not seen as loyal enough to the leader. Loyalty is much more important than competence or even safety. Senior officials are hesitant to cooperate or disagree with each other, not knowing if their colleague is pro-constitution or loyal to the president. That is how monarchies and authoritarian systems operate and fail. That is why democracy, oversight, sovereignty, with, of, by, and for the people is so much better. We have seen Americans forced off healthcare, taxes raised, as corporations and wealthy benefit, while education and free speech are attacked. It is a massive wealth and opportunity transfer that will continue to destabilize the nation because it is fundamentally anti-democratic. We are less safe, less confident, less happy. To cite again the preamble of our Constitution, the statement of what made our revolutionary idea what it is, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution. Our leadership's sovereignty comes from us, we, the people. We are loyal to our Constitution. We are not subjects. We cannot betray this noble experiment by ceding our humanity to power. We are being challenged to reaffirm and maybe even rediscover what our ideals are. We still have elections where our sovereign voice can be heard. That voice is complex and pluralistic. Kintsugi. The Japanese, like so many in our diverse society, have contributed new ideas and other ways of looking at things. This is what strengthens us. Kintsugi, or golden joinery, is an art form that repairs broken pottery with lacquer mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum. In this way, as repair takes place, the cracks aren't hidden. It is those very cracks that add beauty to the object because it shows how vulnerability has and will be overcome to create something new. This is another concept of beauty and healing, and it encourages resilience. It is beautiful because we can see the flaws and build something from the brokenness. As we are all in need of some sort of repair, it is nice to know that brokenness is not the end. We need to tap into this wisdom. There are many cracks and breaks in our democratic experiment. Our republic is cracking, but it is not shattered. When we are honest and face the flaws, we can build something better.